Have you ever been so deep in your work that time just stopped? That everything around you just ceased to exist? About 13 years ago, I was back at Langley, and I had a theory on how to identify a target who had remained a mystery to us for years. I came into work that morning and went through my typical morning routine: cable traffic, emails, morning stand-up meeting. And then I went back to my desk, put on Josh Groban, because obviously he is my productivity guru, tucked my legs under me, got comfortable, and dove down the rabbit hole. I still remember the details of that day like it was yesterday. I skipped lunch. I put Do Not Disturb on my messaging app. I ignored email. I did not move. And at some point, something shifted. I wasn't looking at the data anymore. It felt like I was inside it. Patterns weren't something I had to search for. They just surfaced. Connections felt less like discoveries and more like inevitabilities. I wasn't digging. I was following a path that seemed to just unfold in front of me. It felt a little like The Matrix. When I finally left that evening, I felt almost dazed. I remember walking out into the cold Northern Virginia winter, dark when I arrived and dark when I left, and thinking, what just happened? I couldn't tell if I had been at work for 10 hours or 10 days. That day, I was in a state of flow. Now, flow is not multitasking. It's not adrenaline. It's not panic productivity, which, for the record, I am very good at. Flow feels calm. Urgency feels loud, but flow feels energized but not anxious. They're not the same thing. Flow is sustained, immersive, cognitive engagement where challenge and skill are balanced. To me, that day, it felt like magic, like Wonderland. Welcome to The Unknown Nodes, where intuition meets tradecraft. I'm Dr. Angela Lewis, and this is a space for people who think for a living. Intelligence professionals, leaders, and decision makers navigating complexity, uncertainty, and imperfect information in a fast-paced world. Each week, we'll explore how intuition, bias, and judgment shape the way we make sense of complexity and how to get better at it. As you may have guessed, today's episode is about flow, a state that psychologist Mihaly Csikszentmihalyi described as the point where challenge and skill meet in equilibrium. In intelligence and leadership, we often live in a state of overwhelm or fragmentation. And the very roles that most depend on deep, immersive thinking are so overtaxed that flow feels like a luxury. But it isn't a luxury. It's where high-quality judgment happens. Most of the time, we operate at one extreme or the other, either facing too much challenge, which produces anxiety and cognitive overload, or occasionally underengaged with the problems that matter most, which produces boredom and drift. But right in the middle of those two states, that's flow. That's where synthesis happens, patterns emerge, insight sharpens. It's where the magic happens. Flow temporarily expands your usable cognitive bandwidth. It quiets internal and external noise and enhances pattern recognition. Flow is cognitive alignment. Now, I could spend the next 20 minutes walking you through the neuroscience of flow. We could talk about dopamine and norepinephrine, the chemicals that heighten focus and motivation. We could talk about transient hypofrontality, which is the temporary quieting of the prefrontal cortex that reduces self-referential chatter. We could talk about how in a flow state, your brain reduces background noise and reallocates resources toward the task at hand. I find all of that absolutely fascinating. But here's what you probably actually want to know. How do I get there on purpose? Because knowing that dopamine is involved doesn't help you when Slack is pinging and your inbox is overflowing and someone just asks, hey, can you take a quick look at this? So let's talk about engineering flow. Flow requires a defined target. If the problem is vague, like work on the briefing or think strategically or review this deck, your brain has nothing concrete to lock onto. Instead, you need to define the question that you are answering, define the output that you are producing, and define what done looks like for this block of time. Flow doesn't emerge from ambiguity. It emerges from specificity. So first, you need to clarify your objective. Next, you need to calibrate the task effectively. Remember, flow is where challenge and skill meet in equilibrium. So if a task is too easy, you likely won't enter flow. If it's too overwhelming, you might trigger anxiety. So break massive problems into challenging but solvable segments. Raise the question slightly above your comfort zone and make the problem just hard enough to demand full engagement. Flow lives just beyond comfort, but not inside panic. Now, here's what may be the most challenging part. You need to protect your brain from fragmentation. That doesn't mean just silencing notifications. It means hiding them altogether. Close Slack or Teams or whatever messaging app your organization uses. Turn off preview banners. Turn off email alerts. Physically move your phone out of reach. That itch to doom scroll is strong, but you are stronger. Anticipation of interruption fragments attention almost as much as the interruption itself. And of course, if you are going to go temporarily off the grid, it has to be time-bound because most of us can enter radio silence only for so long. But that's okay because paradoxically, flow thrives inside boundaries. So set a clear start and stop time, say 45 to 90 minutes. You're not disappearing for 6 hours or even 10 like I did that one magical day. You're entering a defined immersion block. And for most tasks, you don't need a full 8 uninterrupted hours, but you do need a protected interval to truly get into deep focus. Entering flow can feel irresponsible in high-tempo environments, but protecting your cognitive depth is not neglect, it's stewardship. Our brains also function on signals, music, location, headphones, a specific notebook, coffee or tea. Having a process for entering that deep focus sends a signal to your brain, which will eventually associate as a cue for immersion. For me, it was Josh Groban, tucking my legs under me, my notebook to track questions and the path I wanted to follow, and a travel map full of hot vanilla chai tea. One final thought on engineering flow. You also want to protect re-entry. This is slightly more advanced, but potentially even more powerful. Don't stop at exhaustion. Stop when you still know what the next step is. Leave yourself a breadcrumb, a note, a half-finished sentence, a highlighted question, something that allows you to tackle the next immersion session without needing to completely reorient yourself. Flow compounds when reentry is easy. Now, keep in mind that this isn't about productivity, though productivity is absolutely a fantastic byproduct. It's about cognitive quality. When your attention fragments, the quality of your thinking degrades. Flow is the opposite. It happens when your attention aligns. If we never enter flow, we default to surface-level thinking. We react instead of synthesize. We optimize for speed instead of insight. So I'll add this. While I am primarily talking about how to enter flow as an individual, leaders have a responsibility here too. Flow is not just a personal discipline. It's an environmental condition. Leaders should be actively protecting deep work for their teams because sometimes the biggest barrier to flow isn't capability, it's context. Many intelligence teams operate in bullpen-style environments. These setups are excellent for rapid collaboration, quick clarification, and high-tempo coordination. But they can also be a serious impediment to immersive deep thinking. A constant stream of alerts, updates, and taskings may optimize responsiveness. It may even make productivity visible. Even after I left government service, I noticed that when I had a task requiring significant focus, I often had to wait until I got home to complete it. Not because it took longer, but because I needed to create an environment that allowed sustained focus. Once I had that, I could move quickly and efficiently. Responsiveness and visibility are not the same thing as cognitive quality. And deep, thought-provoking work requires a different rhythm. If we design environments that reward constant interruption, we should not be surprised when focus declines. For some, putting in headphones and telling colleagues that you're working on something that requires deep focus may be enough. But for others, it may require physically relocating, finding a quiet space that reduces the ambient pull of interruption that defines much of today's work culture. Now, I also want to talk about why we often think we don't have time for flow. The modern workplace rewards responsiveness, but not always depth. Slack pings, reactive taskings, AI-generated volume, meeting overload. Can you take a quick look at this queries? With so much pulling our focus in different directions, it's easy to confuse busyness with performance, but busyness fragments attention. And this challenge isn't just prevalent for analysts. Flow isn't just for individual contributors. Leaders need flow to think strategically, to consider second and third order effects, to weigh trade-offs without emotional reactivity. Making high quality decisions is even more challenging when you operate in a constant state of interruption. So if you take nothing else from this episode, remember three things. Flow requires clarity, flow requires protection, and flow requires intention. And it's not a luxury. its infrastructure for judgment. That winter day at Langley wasn't magical because of the target. It was magical because of the immersion. And that state isn't reserved for one rare day 13 years ago. It's available. We just have to design for it. Thanks for listening to The Unknown Nodes. If this episode made you think or rethink, share it with a colleague or friend who's ready to level up their trade craft. Subscribe for more short, sharp conversations about the art and science of professional judgment. Until next time, stay curious, stay grounded, and keep turning intelligence into impact.